Kevin Mondro here, Coach Dro, D-R-O. Welcome back to the Tell Me Your Story Coach podcast, the podcast where we advocate coaches and help young coaches learn from the coaches telling these stories. Coaches are really impressed with Clayton Bates at Western Michigan. Coach Bates gave us a true behind-the-scenes look at his approach to being a first-year head coach. Coach fast, you win with players, but you have to develop players. Character first, talent second. Protect your culture. Have fun. I think that the Coach Bates podcast is a must-listen for assistant coaches. Take it from my own personal mistake. I had a chance at 33 to be the next head coach at Detroit. Unlike Coach Bates, I was not prepared. Thanks again, Coach Bates. Looking forward to seeing a ton of Western Michigan games this season in person. Today, we are talking to Justin Ingram. Justin is an assistant coach for Coach Todd Kowalczyk at Toledo. Toledo is a terrific mid-major basketball program. The Rockets are coming off a 20-win season and a MAC regular season title. Justin, who is the son of a tremendous junior college basketball coach, Mike Ingram, at Lansing Community College, has made quite the impact already as a young assistant coach at Toledo. What did I love about this conversation that you're about to hear? Justin is so darn loyal to Coach Kowalczyk, his coworkers, and the University of Toledo. Loyalty was a big thing for me when I was an assistant coach for Rob Murphy, Jim Weitzel. By the way, congrats, Jim, on your new contract extension. And Perry Watson. What you're also going to hear is that Justin has really focused on becoming a better assistant coach. Justin is constantly learning and thinking and networking. It's so awesome to hear his mindset on becoming a better coach. This is an action-packed 35-minute conversation with a young assistant coach who loves his boss, his coworkers, his players, and his alma mater. Subscribe, rate, and review on whatever platform that you are currently listening. And we are everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and so much more. You can even ask Alexa or Siri about the Tell Me Your Story podcast. Try it right now. It works. Follow Tell Me Your Story Coach on Instagram at Tell Me Your Story Coach. Connect with me on LinkedIn, Kevin Mondro. Email me at Tell Me Your Story Coach at gmail.com. How can I help you? Maybe we can create a partnership to help your business grow. I just ask that you keep telling your coaching friends about this podcast. Enough of Dro. Let's get to Coach Justin Ingram and tell his story. Real quick, before Coach Ingram's story, I need to tell you about my affiliate partner that I am super excited to support. That friend, Desmond Ferguson, the owner of Moneyball Sportswear. As soon as this podcast is over, wait, it's okay. You can even go right now. Check out MoneyballSportswear.com. This website is truly incredible. Let me tell you about the gear that Moneyball produces. Men's, women's, boys and girls sports attire. Fall is right around the corner. Hoodies, sweatshirts, t-shirts, you name it. Moneyball has it. High quality and super affordable. If you're a high school and or AAU coach and you need a new set of uniforms, reach out to Moneyball ASAP. What are you waiting for? The uniforms that Desmond and his team create are simply spectacular. Go to MoneyballSportswear.com. Shop away. Enter the promo code DRO in the coupon checkout. Grow with us. Moneyball, the only way to ball. Coach Justin, why do you coach?
Man, I love it, man. You know, I get to help kids achieve their dream of being a basketball player and hopefully getting to the next level, you know, but also, you know, I get to teach them life lessons, you know, through the game of basketball, you know, things that I learned playing, you know, and it keeps me involved in the game, you know, after I finish playing. It's definitely less wear and tear on the body, you know, doing it this way, you know, but my dad's a head coach, you know, and he's been a coach for
right.
a head coach over 30 years, man. So like I've always known that I've wanted to coach because of him.
When did you fall in love with the game?
As far back as I can remember, you know, I grew up with the game, you know, like with my dad, you know, being involved with it so much. And at the time, my older sister, my whole entire family played. So it was nothing that I couldn't do with it. There was nothing that was going to happen where Justin Ingram wasn't going to be involved with basketball at some point. You know, it's just
right.
It was, my entire family did it. So it's like, I don't know exactly when I fell in love with it. It's just always been a part of me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So you were a great player at Toledo. You know, I actually coached against you a long, long time ago when I was in Detroit. So I remember you were great, you know, just you're a smooth player and you just had, you had so much to your game. What does it mean for you to be at Toledo coaching at your alma mater?
It means everything. You know, I love Toledo. You know, I love the city. I love the university, the basketball program, the athletic department, like everything about Toledo I love and I always have. You know, it's the second home. You know, it's, you know, I'm born and raised in Lansing, Michigan, so Lansing is home.
Right.
But, you know, Toledo is like where I became a man, you know, from 18 years old to 22. Mm-hmm. You know, I came in a little kid and left a grown man, you know, so it's always going to hold a place, you know, in my heart. So for me to be able to be here and to walk the same halls, you know, and with these guys that I walked, you know, now these halls look a lot nicer now than when I was in school, but
great
you
facility. Know,
but to be at this place, man, it's great. My wife actually asked me, like, I think a year after I got done playing, or okay, right when I got done playing back in, I think it was like 2016, she asked me, she was like, where do you want to be? What do you want to do? And I told her, I was like, I want to coach at Toledo. And then a year later it happened and I kind of talked to her and she looked at me and I was like, well, here we are, you know? So like, it's everything for me to be here.
So, okay. So I have massive respect for you and I'm going to talk about some of the things that I've admired with you throughout this podcast. But you know, the one thing as I've got older, and I think it happened when my son was born, is I just started to really, really appreciate the coaches that I coached against. You know, I have strong admiration for Coach Kowalczyk in your program and the staff he has, and specifically you just singled you out because you're from Michigan. I've seen you play and I know your background. If you do get the opportunity when the time comes and an athletic director sits down with you and says, Justin, what's your philosophy? What would you tell an athletic director what your philosophy is about?
You know, what's funny about that is I've actually been working on some things, you know, about this, you know, even before you asked me. I sit in on a professional development, you know, session on Zoom every Thursday. I've got one tomorrow morning at 9:30, you know, with a group of, you know, assistant coaches and some head coaches, some new head coaches and some that have been head coaches for a while now and stuff like that. And, listen to a lot of things that they say and that they've been through. And a couple weeks ago, one of the things that really, you know, resonated with me and has really stuck with me as I've been thinking about, you know, my future in my career, is one of the coaches said he had just got a head coaching job, you know, and he was telling how he got it and everything. And the big thing that he said was, if you were to get an interview and a athletic director came in and said, hey, I want to sit down and talk to you about the head coaching job, would you and could you be ready in 10 minutes? And I really thought to myself, and I was like, you know what? I wouldn't be, you know, I don't know if I'd be able to come out and be like, what's my philosophy and what I want to do and articulate it exactly the way that I wanted to. So that's when I really, you know, I had already started thinking about it, but I started putting some things down on paper, you know, what I liked, what I disliked, what I thought, you know, so I've really been thinking about that. And to be honest, I haven't actually got to what my philosophy would be. Okay. I know one of my core values and would be part of my philosophy would be a lot of the things that we do here at Toledo, which is do it the right way.
Okay, you that's know, great.
Yeah, like on the court and off the court, in the classroom, in the community, you know, do it the right way. Because that's how we do it here at Toledo, you know, and that's how I want to run my program. You know, I want to make sure that we do things the right way.
That's a great start. Mine was always play for me, play for each other. And that's great that you're thinking about it. I do it the right way. Now it makes sense when we're down 26 this past year at your place. So you guys were definitely doing it the right way. So you played 9 years overseas, which is awesome. I like how you worked your way to being an assistant Toledo. I remember when you were assistant at Olivet, which is a Division III school in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I remember you texting me one day and be like, hey, Coach Drew, you know, Justin Ingram, da da da. And you had texted me about a bunch of guys that you had played a part in recruiting to the program. And I was just like, right away, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Obviously, going to your alma mater and being, you know, director of ops for how many years? How many years were you the ops?
Just for one.
1 year. Okay. So how do you think Olivet, so obviously professional, I mean, obviously that speaks for itself. To be a professional is just a professional basketball player is an incredible feat. But to be, you know, to work at Olivet and then and in the support staff role at Toledo, how do you think those jobs helped you transition to being an assistant?
Because, you know, all those positions, they all had different responsibilities. You know, when I was at Olivet, you know, I was working under, you know, Steve Ernst.
Yep.
And I've known Steve, man, my entire life, you know. Actually plays for Steve, you know, AAU and whatnot. But he gave me a ton of responsibility, you know, while I was there, whether it was, you know, to run study tables or, you know, to do class checks, which are some of the things, not so much study tables now, but class checks are what I do, you know, here at Toledo. You know, I did a lot of compliance things, you know, a lot of things that not necessarily a Division I assistant coach was to do, would do now, you know, or would do, you know, at the level that, you know, that we're at now. And then when at the Dobo position was the same thing. Like I wasn't doing, you know, a bunch of basketball stuff. I was doing a lot of behind the scenes work, you know, and Coach K was great for that. Like when he brought me in, he told me, he's like, you know what, Justin, being a director of ops is going to be great for you. And it's going to be great for your career and your future because it's showing you things that a head coach needs to know.
Right.
The way that a head coach, you know, the people he needs to talk to, the meetings that he has to go to all the time. You're not just worried about basketball. It's as a head coach, there's so much other things that you have to worry about and everything. So I was able to see that, you know, see that part of it as well. So hopefully one day when I am, you know, fortunate enough to become a head coach,
right,
I can take those things that I learned from that year as being an ops position as well.
Time for a quick 30-second timeout. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. I know I am. Getting this podcast to you is all because of my friends at Buzzsprout. You've heard me say it, but for years I wanted to start a podcast with Coach Rob Murphy at Eastern Michigan. I thought the podcast could be so cutting edge in terms of branding our program, recruiting, and selfishly letting people know what a great person and coach that Rob Murphy was. Imagine if you started a podcast in your basketball office today. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Buzzsprout has already helped over 100,000 people launch their own podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and so many more. You also get a great-looking podcast website. They provide audio players that you can drop into other websites. Buzzsprout gives detailed analytics to see how people are listening. I'm on this all the time. To start your own podcast, follow the link in my show notes. Let Buzzsprout know that I sent you, and you'll even get a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan, and this helps support my show. Buzzsprout, the easiest way to start a podcast. That's great. I mean, it's always good to know all facets of the program and going through that route. You definitely do. You know everything.
Right. Yes, you do.
Now, your dad, you mentioned your dad, Coach Mike Ingram. He's been an incredible junior college coach at Lansing Community College. I mean, obviously, the 30 years plus, it speaks volumes to his, you know, the job he's done. And one of the things that I'm trying to do with this podcast is just advocate coaches. And, you know, I'm trying to speak to coaches that are high major head coaches, high major assistants, mid major, low. It doesn't matter if a right. coach can coach. I want to learn about him and share his story. So your dad obviously had you must have been in the gym your whole growing up, just watching him coach.
And I grew up at Lansing Community College. Like that is my home.
Up the stairwells, you know, to the second floor.
I know that gym better than people that work there probably. You know, and what's funny about it is when I would come back home from overseas,
yeah,
and there'd be a lot newer people that work there and whatnot, and I'd just be walking in like I own the place, and they'd be like, "Excuse me, sir," and I'd be like, "Yeah, like, do you need some help?" You know, but no, I I grew up at LCC, you know, and my dad was, you know, is a great coach.
Correct.
You know, he's my favorite coach of all time. You know, like I love watching him work. I love going to his practices. I love going to his games and whatnot, you know, and he's the reason why I do coach, you know, right now he's prepared me for that, you know, my entire life, you know, just by watching him, listening to the things that he says, listening to the way that he talks to his players, listen to the way that he talks to his former players, like the relationships that he still has,
yeah.
You know, with guys he coached 30 years ago, you know, the things that he liked from his assistant coaches and the things that he disliked. I use that now. Like I try to do things that he did not like that his assistant coaches would do at times. Mm-hmm. I make sure that I don't do those things so that I don't annoy my head coach or I don't make my head coach upset. Or, you know, it just from being around a head coach, you know, for so long, there's certain things that you see, you know, that you just pick up, you know, and we talk all the time, you know, whether. Yeah,
great to have that resource.
Yeah, you know, we talk about basketball, we talk recruiting. He asked me questions when it first started. You know, I was the one asking him questions all the time, but now sometimes he asked me certain things, you know, so it's great to be able to have those, you know, those conversations.
Yeah, well, please give him my regards. I just think the world of him and
I will.
I have another question, but you just said something really interesting about keeping your coaches, your head coach in a good place. I think that's a highly underrated skill that probably a lot of younger coaches don't think about.
Yeah, you know, and you're right. Our head coaches do have a ton of stress that they go through every day, and they do a great job of shielding it away from people. Like, people would never know the amount of things that they go through or the way that how they're feeling about, you know, certain things that are going on within the program or just how if they have a bad day, you know, you just don't know because they do a good job of putting on a good face. But it's also our job as assistant coaches to keep the nonsense, you know, as far away from them as we can. If we see something going on, to get it handled, you know, they don't need to know everything that's going on if you can get it handled. You know what I mean? And I think our coaching staff, you know, does a really good job, you know, making sure that we keep everything in line and let coach know what he needs to know. And if something needs to be taken care of before he needs to know, then we do a good job of doing that.
That's a great trait. What's one other trait you think that an assistant should bring to a program?
Loyalty, man. Mm. Loyalty is key. Yep. In our business, especially as an assistant coach, that's one of the big things that I have taken, you know, from my dad, you know, but also, you know, working with Coach K, you know, you want to be with people that you trust and that has your back at all times. You know, you don't want to be worrying about somebody that's, you know, trying to get your job or, you know, trying to move on, you know, to the next job. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, people want to move up in this business and everything, but you don't, you want somebody that wants to be there, that wants to be with you and wants to work with you, to help the team win, you know, and if the team wins, everybody's success is magnified, you know, from that. And I think that loyalty is really big. I'm a really loyal guy. I've been like that my entire life, whether it's with the teams I play for, my friends, the people that I work for. You know, I want you to know that I have your back at all times and there's nothing that I wouldn't do for you.
I was really similar like that for Coach Murphy. I worked for Coach Weitzel and Coach Watson. That's a big part. You know, everyone was like, well, Joe, you're so loyal to Murph. I'm like, yeah, that's my dude. Like, that's my you're guy. Right. That's my boss, but that's my friend. He gave me an opportunity. So I get it. I love it. I respect it. And, you know, I'm not surprised you said that. Okay. So on the floor with you, Justin, one of the things I was always blown away is just like when we came to Toledo to play, like the assistants were pretty involved with the players on the floor. Getting them ready, you know, shots, you know, mindset to play. It's a very unique warm up. We don't have to break it all down today, but it's probably the most unique warm up in the MAC. But I've watched you interact with the guys, and I've been impressed. How would you describe your coaching style?
I'm really energetic but chill at the same time. If that makes sense, you know what I mean. You know, like
I got you.
And the thing about it, I was like that, you know, as a player as well. You know, our coaching staff we're very different, all of us.
Okay.
You know, Walt's the in your face rah rah, you know,
Yeah.
I show a ton of emotion, you know, I'm going to get you going type of guy. You know, I'm, like I said, I'm a little bit more chill, you know what I mean? Energetic, you know, when I need to be and stuff like that, you know, Mass is a, you know, is the older guy, you know, that's real wise, you know, and can tell you, you know, what's going on there. So we're a lot different, you know, but I'm a huge hype man. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
I'm a rah-rah guy. I cheer, you know, I jump up and down, you know, and I don't know if that's if it's because I'm a little bit younger, you know, I'm still close to these guys' age and everything, you know, and I know that's how they get, you know, but I'm a big cheerleader, you know, so that's how I coach, you know, that's how I play. So that's how I coach.
Okay.
You know, the same exact way. And I've actually thought about this for the last couple years, you know, like what happens, you know, in 5, 10, 15 years down the line when I am a head coach, do I change who I am? You know, because most head coaches, when things are going, you know, sometimes they show some emotions, but most times you're really stoic, you know, you're calm. Trying to stay cool, calm and collected and everything. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I like fist pumps and, you know, and showing emotion and everything. You know, my dad was like that when he coached. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm like, do I change who I am just because that's the quote unquote the way a head coach is supposed to be? Or do I not care what people think? And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to be me. You know?
Yeah. I can't remember the book Coach Murphy had on his desk for years. It was something like Be You was the title. I think you're right on the right path. I see the energy you bring on the staff during the games. If I had to take an educated guess, I thought you would be bring a lot of energy, and that's great. And you guys have a great staff with Jeff Massey, and Walter Offit, working for Coach Kowalczyk. And obviously now not being in the daily grind of the league, you know, I've had massive respect for Coach Kowalczyk. How has it been working for Coach Kowalczyk?
Man, it's been great. You know, I love working for Kay and working with Kay. You know, we've got a great staff. We've got great chemistry. We work extremely hard, but I think we have a lot more fun. We joke around a ton in the office, you know, and I think that helps our team. Because they see our staff chemistry and how much we enjoy being around each other. Mm-hmm. So they enjoy being around us and being around their teammates, you know, as well. We're super close. Kay does a great job of having balance between work and family. You know, like we're not in the office all day long. You know, we get in early, you know, because we practice in the morning, you know, but then we're usually gone at the latest by 5 o'clock. You know what I mean? So we're able to be home and be with our family. He likes being with his family. Right. He loves going to his lake house in the summertime. You know what I mean? So like he does a great job of allowing us to work hard and do what we're supposed to be doing, but also have a life, man. You know, and
God bless him.
I love working with him. Yeah, he's been great. He's been great for me.
Yeah, he seems a lot like Coach Murph and approach to his office style. Coach Murph was get in and get out too, and I loved it too. Love it. I love now just waking up and doing nothing, but that's I got to pay the bills eventually. So
right, you know. But the thing about it is like he's in. He gets his work in. You know, he's watching film. He's making phone calls, having meetings, and everything.
Yeah.
But he's been really good, and he'll tell you himself is. You know, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
like
great for young coaches.
Don't just sit in the office if you don't have anything going on. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. But if you don't have anything going on, you get up out of here. You know.
Well, scouting, you guys are relentless on the bench. You know, unreal communicators of what actions are coming. How is this part of your coaching style progressed?
As a player, I was always, you know, pretty good at. You know, reading coverages and remembering plays and seeing things
when they were happening.
You know, I thought I was pretty good at that. So that's helped me, you know, a lot in coaching. And it's also helped because Kay gives us the freedom to, you know, to do those things. You know, he wants an energetic bench. He wants coaches, you know, standing up and talking to players, you know, and letting them know what's going on, you know. And I think by him giving us that freedom, you know, it's allowed us to want to do it. And it's allowed us to be more involved, you know, in the game so that we know more that's going on and we can relate things better to our players. So now they know what's going on. And now the bench knows what's going on. So now we have a more energetic bench, you know?
Yeah. I mean, isn't it funny that those scouts become like your kids?
Yeah.
Just I mean,
you're just like, you're always, don't get me wrong, you're always mad when you lose a game.
Yeah, Toledo runs this. No, I know. I know.
When you lose your scout, you're like,
Yeah, no doubt. It's hard to explain unless you're a coach, and it doesn't matter what level. It's just the scouts just become like another child. It's surreal.
Yeah.
You guys have recruited some, you know, awesome players at Toledo. Super talented guys. I mean, but your individual skill development, I mentioned a little bit before, like, I've only watched probably 3% of what you guys do, but you know, I've played against or coached against enough of your guys that, you know, one year they're strictly 3-point shooters and then the next year they can score in a block and things like that. Like, I can tell that your guys add something to their game every year. Without divulging everything, share a few secrets why you guys are so good at skill development.
It's a culture thing, you know, and I know a lot of people, you know, say that they got that video that's out when all those new head coaches have been saying like culture all the time and stuff like that. But it's true, you know, like that's really a part of our culture, of our guys getting in the gym and working, and they're relentless at it. You know, we've got 14 guys on the team, you know, and you know, most teams usually have 2 or 3 guys that are like gym rats that really get in all the time. You know, we've got 6 or 7, you know, and they come in, they want to work, they want to get, you know, extra shots in, they get in on the gun, they get in with managers and GAs, you know, they come in and watch film, you know, and just talk about what they want to get better at. We take that into our individual workouts in the spring and in the summer, in the fall, you know, to try and get these guys, you know, better at what they want to get better at, and also better at what we need to get better at, you know, as a team. You know, we shoot a ton, and we shoot a ton of threes, and you know, we're pretty good at that. So in our workouts, we do that. We get a lot of catch and shoot, jump shots and whatnot from places that they're going to get in the game, so that when it happens and they get in the game, it's like clockwork. Hey, I've shot this shot 100 times or whatever. Yeah. I don't even need to see the rim to shoot it because I've done it so much. It's just repetition.
Yeah. No. I get it, and it's impressive, and I applaud you guys, and you guys have done a great job of it. I just think about my son. He's five years old, and during the pandemic, you know, he picked up golf, and every day we would hit balls and balls and balls. And, you know, you just sometimes it's crazy that a five-year-old has to break it down for you about coaching, but just muscle memory and seeing him hit the ball and hit the ball and hit the ball. And, you know, just, you know, it's just, it's bonkers. Your guys get better, and it's a credit to you guys. And, you know, and again, I'm not in coaching, but I don't care. I'm going to, like, if I see something, like, I'm glad I get to see it and tell you, because it's been fun to watch just like how coaching you guys have got guys better.
Thanks, Rob. We appreciate that. You know, we work really hard, you know, with our guys, but so do they put in the work themselves, you know, so. It's a credit to the work that they've put in and whatnot. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to, you know, to improve.
So your dad was blessed. He's been a head coach for 30 years.
Yep.
How do you think assistant coaches become head coaches with limited or no head coaching experience?
I think a big thing is just networking.
Okay.
You know, meeting a lot of people and, you know, reaching out to them, you know, and knowing what's going on. And it's not always who you know, it's who knows you, you know, which is another thing that I learned in the, you know, development, you know, session that we've been in, you know, it's not always who you know, it's who knows you, you know? So, you know, establishing these relationships with people so that, you know, your name is, you know, rolls off their tongue. If a job, you know, comes up, you know, K is great at networking. Mm. Like he's really good at that. And I've spoken to him about it, you know, at times, and I watch the way that, you know, that he can work a room and stuff like that. And it's just trying to learn from him, you know, the different things, what helped him, you know, become a head coach. How did he, you know, get into certain rooms and stuff like that. He does a great job of teaching and mentoring and allowing you to learn from him. You know, he tells you a lot of stories and tells you different things that he's done. And I've learned a lot from him. I still have a lot to learn from him. And, you know, I'm going to continue to try and pick his brain as much as I can.
it's really great that he gives back and he shares. You know, sometimes some guys' perception of Coach Kowalczyk isn't that, but the people that have worked for him have always shared with me that he is such a giver. And in the end of the day, is the only time I run into Coach Kowalczyk is 2 hours during a game, which, you know, head coaches are going to be dialed in and ready to compete. So I don't get to come in the office every day with them and break bread and break it down like you guys do. But it's great that he's gives back and the networking part, you know, that he's, you know, helping you guys, you know, just break down like, hey, this is how I become a head coach. And these are some things you can do. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like I'm so grateful, you know, for him, because one, not only is he just, you know, allowing me to learn so many things from him, but he gave me my first Division I job. He didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just because I played at Toledo doesn't mean I should be coaching at Toledo. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He took a chance on me and allowed me to learn a profession that I didn't know, you know, that well, you know, and he continues to help me learn, and I'm grateful for that.
That's great. Obviously, I don't work in the NCAA or with college basketball, so I don't. There's no rules with me anymore. But I glance at Twitter all the time, and I'm always impressed with people that you're touching recruiting wise. You know, without saying who, what, you know, and kids do a pretty good job of saying, "Hey, so and so is recruiting me." And I mentioned at Olivet just right away, you got into recruiting and you were involved with a lot of kids right in that way. How would you describe, without divulging all the secret details of Toledo, your recruiting process?
I mean, it's about building relationships, you know, and genuine relationships, mm-hmm. because people can tell when you're being fake. Mm-hmm. You know, high school coaches, AAU coaches, kids can tell when you're being fake, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, what I try and do is build a genuine relationship, you know, with the kid and with his family and, you know, with the people that are close, you know, to him. You know, I try to know as many kids as I possibly can, you know, whether it's a high major kid all the way down to possibly a Division III or NAIA, you know, because one, you never know how good somebody's going to be, you know, in the coming years.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you build those relationships because if you do happen to miss out on a kid, you already have a relationship built. Maybe you can get the kid, you know, in 2 or 3 years in a transfer if he does not like where he's at that yeah. at that time, you know?
It seems like the way right now. But it seems like your guys are always all in when it comes to recruiting. You know, some guys, and I found this with myself sometimes, like, I don't know if you can be successful in recruiting if you're not all in, you know, and in terms of all in, like, if you want a kid, go get them, you know, and some guys, I just sometimes struggled with being all in, and maybe it was just a consistency of my day and my approach. But it's one thing about you guys is it seems like when you guys zero in on a guy, you're going to try to do everything you can legally and, you know, how we all operate to get the kid.
Yeah, you know, definitely. I mean, once we eye in on, you know, the kids that we want, you know, yeah, we're going to go hard and try and get those, you know, those kids. The thing that sucks about that is when you don't get them, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's because it's like breaking up with a girlfriend, man. You spent so much time mm-hmm. trying to get this kid and getting to know him and getting to know his family and everything. And then, you know, when you don't get them, it's like, man, like you're in the dumps, dog. Like, man, I know you know how it feels, but it's like, man, like it hurts, man. It hurts your heart. You know, you don't want to talk to nobody. Like,
yeah,
you close your door and stuff. I mean, but that's part of the game. That's what makes it fun. Because on the other hand of it, when you do get that kid, it's like, man, you're doing cartwheels and flips, and you know, like it's a great feeling, you know. So, our staff does a good job of, you know, zeroing in on the kids that we think fit our style of play, fit our style of culture. You know, come from a good family. You know, and I think we do a really good job of bringing guys in that fits everything that we do at Toledo.
I love on your Instagram page, on your handle, it says full-time dad. Can you just, you know, share with me and people listening? That's a pretty powerful statement to just say I'm, you know, full-time dad. So just talk about being a dad.
Man, I love being a dad, you know, like, that's my real job. I get paid to coach basketball, but my real job is being a dad. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's like I told you before, Kay does a really good job of balancing, you know, work and, you know, and family life. So I'm able to be around my kids, you know, a lot, you know. Now, the pandemic sucked, man. You know, it really did. But one good thing that came out of it this past year and a half, I was around my family so much. I was able to take my kids to school, pick them up, take them to sporting events, you know, cook dinner and stuff like that, hang out. Like, I was just able, you know, the same with you. You're just able to be around, so much. And, you know, I'm a coach's kid. Like I told you, I grew up at Lansing Community College. My kids are going to grow up at Toledo. You know, my oldest is at that age. He's 7 years old. Okay. He's at that age where he's just now getting into sports. Like, he loves football and he's like, he loves basketball. He's been at camp the last 3 weeks.
You know? Okay.
All day, every day. Mm. Like this week, our women are having camp and he's going from, you know, they go first to fifth grade from 9 to 12. So he does that. But then he wants to do, they go 6th to 12th grade. He wants to do the drills in the afternoon. So I'm like, oh, do your thing, you know, go out there, you know. He just loves it. So I love the fact that he gets to grow up the exact same way that I grew up. He walked into the office the other day and Mass is like, man, JJ, what are you doing here? And he looks at him, he's like, man, I live here. And I was like, you're right, Jay, you do. This is our home away from home. You do live here. So
well, I knew we had a bond since my son's name is JJ. All right, what, last thing. What keeps you up at night?
Oh, man, bad point guard play. Man, I'm a former point guard, you know, and I do a lot of work with our point guards. So when our point guards are not playing well, man, it's like I'm not playing well or I'm failing them, you know. So it's my job to get them fully prepared to do what they're what they're supposed to be doing. Like earlier this year, you know, Marion Jackson, MAC Player of the Year, had a great year, man. Great player.
Monster. You
know? He was not playing well at the beginning of the year. And we watched a ton of film. We got in work and everything. And it was like every time Kay walked past my door, I could just feel him just fire in his eyes, just burning a hole through me and stuff like that. And I'm like, dog, we got to get this together, man. Like, and he finally did. You know what I mean? He had a great year and everything. But when our guards aren't playing well, that frustrates me. Because like I said, that means that I may be putting a little bit too much pressure on myself, you know. Yeah. But that's what I've always done that as a player. And I do that as a coach. But when our guards aren't playing well, I feel like I'm failing them because I'm not getting them prepared in order to make the right plays and to play the right way during the game. So that keeps me up at night.
Always coaching. You know, if you could ask Marion Jackson to go back in his career 4 years ago and not make a three against us with 7 seconds left in the MAC semifinals, that'd be all right. But what a great player. What a great answer. All right. In like 30 seconds or less, what are some simple advice for young coaches?
Man, network. Network to as many people as you can. You know, meet them, you know, keep in contact with them. And don't always just keep in contact with them because it's something that you want or something that you need. Even now, I find myself, you know, doing that. Hey, don't always reach out to people when you need or you want something. You know, build those genuine, relationships, you know, with people. And at the end of the day, man, work extremely, extremely, extremely hard. You know, don't worry about the next job. Do the best job that you can wherever you're at. You know, real quick, when I was at Olivet, I went to a coaching clinic out in Vegas.
Yeah.
I seen Steve Fisher talk, you know, when he was still coaching out of San Diego State. And one thing that he said that resonated to me and I still think about it all the time was, whatever job you have is the best job.
Yeah.
Because it's your job.
Make it the big time where you're at. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. And I took that to heart. You know, the next job is always going to be there. But if you're worrying about the next job, you're not going to do your best at the job that you're at. So work extremely hard wherever you're at. And when it's time for you to move on or move up or get promoted, man, it's going to happen. But just do your best where you're at.
Well, Justin, you've been super gracious with your time. I've admired you for a long, long time. When I, making this transition out of coaching, and who knows where my path goes, but I wanted to speak to some coaches and just, I knew instantly right away you were a person I had to reach out to you. And I'm just so proud about just this, the player and the coach and the man that you've become. And, you know, your dad should be so proud. You know, University of Toledo should be proud. And I'm just wishing you endless, just great luck in the future. You're just, you know, you're so professional, you're so accomplished, and I'm just I'm just will always be rooting for you.
You know, man, I really appreciate that, man. You know, we've known each other for a while, you know, former player, you know, to coach and whatnot, you know, and I really appreciate you having me. And I'm sorry that I talked for 40 minutes.
We could do three hours. You're the real deal, man. You're so darn professional before every game. Who knew that? No. I'm just, you mentioned early on, like, I'm just trying to build my philosophy. You have your philosophy. It's no doubt. And I can't wait for this to get out here in July and people to hear you and hear your passion. And obviously I love your loyalty toward Toledo. And your boss and your coworkers, just a highly underrated skill. This is a cutthroat profession, but if you can go to work and love who you work for and the guys you're with, then that's like you've already won. So you're winning.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously you guys are dominating on the court and the max. So, I just like keep it up and just thanks for dropping some knowledge. And I think a lot of young coaches are going to really, really, you know, learn from you.
Yeah, I hope so. And I'm still young in the profession myself. I'm 36 years old, but I've only been coaching for 5 years. You know,
like, well, I'm 47, and you know more than me already. So you're doing the right thing, man.
And I've had some great people, you know, help me along the way. You know, my dad, of course. You know, my college coach, Stan Joplin.
Yeah, great coach. Out. Yeah.
Yes. You know, and K, man. I know I spoke a lot about him, but he's helped me out a lot, and I haven't told him so much, face to face, and I probably should, you know, but he's helped me so much in just the short time that I've done this. And I appreciate him, you know, for that, you know, and like I said, more advice to young coaches, man, just get a group of guys, you know, that you trust and that you can talk to, man, and pick their brain whenever you can, you know, listen to what they have to say, you know, and you may not always agree with everything that they say, but take everything that they say and, you know, apply it to what you want to do, whether it's something that you want to do or something you don't want to do, you know. And I've done that with the people that I've been around and the people that, you know, I've talked to. I've been around my dad for 36 years, and there's things I don't like about that he does, you know, and I apply it to, you know, to my philosophy, you know, right now. So, I mean, just you're always learning, you know, at all times.
Well, keep being you. Stay safe. And I really appreciate your time tonight.
No, I appreciate it, Joe. Thanks for having me, man. Anytime.
That was a great conversation with Justin Ingram, the son of a coach who now is a coach. So cool. I also love Justin's thoughts on being a dad. Big time mindset. Big time respect, Justin. Big time. My wife and I have a black son, and we are constantly thinking of great black role models for JJ. Justin, you are for sure someone that I would love for JJ to follow and model. Thank you. How about what keeps Justin up at night? Poor point guard play. Incredible. You can just feel the passion that Justin has toward coaching, helping Coach Kowalczyk and his guards get better. Finally, I'd like to apologize to Coach Kowalczyk. I always thought, Todd, that you could flat out coach. I just never realized that you are such an amazing mentor to your staff members. Those 2 hours that we battled for all those years is not a true reflection of what type of man that you are. Thank you for believing in Justin and helping Justin become a better coach and man. I would love to one day speak to Coach Kowalczyk on this podcast. Follow Coach Justin Ingram at Justin_Ingram. Young coaches, I would encourage you to connect with Justin ASAP. You heard what he said about networking. Thank you, Justin, for sharing your story. I can't wait for you to hear my next conversation with Brian Smothers at Niagara. Brian is currently an assistant coach for Greg Paulus. These conversations this week are, as the great Phil Martelli says, concise and precise. Love that, coach. Like Justin, and you'll soon hear from Brian, I need to keep on getting better. Get the darn questions out, Joe. On it. Brian is another super talented young assistant. I know that you will love hearing his story. Subscribe, rate, and review on whatever platform that you are currently listening. And we are everywhere. Follow Tell Me Your Story Coach on Instagram at Tell Me Your Story Coach. Follow Tell Me Your Story Coach on Twitter at Coach Kevin Drow. Connect with me on LinkedIn, Kevin Mondro. Check out MoneyballSportswear.com. Enter the coupon code DROW, D-R-O, at checkout. If I can start a podcast, you can too. Check out my show notes and learn more about Buzzsprout. Food for thought. God, do I love food. Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor, anyone? The Summer Olympics are here. Let's pray that everyone stays safe and well. Who's going to watch a little gymnastics? I know that JJ, Liz, and I will. Simone Biles recently said this: practice creates confidence, and confidence empowers you. Great coaching from our U.S. superstar. Be safe, be you, and keep coaching. And see you on the next episode of the Tell Me Your Story, Coach podcast.